Video. It's the only way to get what you want to watch when you want to watch it.
Hello, my name is Justin LeClue, and I'm here today with
Mark Hansen.
And you're listening to the Bay Street Video Podcast, where we go through all of this week's notable Blu-rays and DVDs that have movies on them.
Yes, brand new movies.
Well, not
brand new movie films.
Releases, not necessarily movies.
Old movies.
Because we're talking about The Hard Part Begins, the new release from Canadian International Pictures.
Yeah.
It's Vinegar
Syndrome
Week.
We love Canadian International Pictures here.
But if people don't know, at the end of the month, Vinegar Syndrome releases their... How many releases were there this week?
20. There are 20
releases.
And you know what? I split it up because not only did 20 Vinegar Syndrome releases come out, 33 other Blu-ray releases came out the same week, which we're going to push till next week
because
it's
different
a
companies.
Lot of stuff from different companies. There's just too much stuff coming out on like one day, guys.
Too much.
The last few weeks we were like struggling to put a list together, and now it's like...
I'm telling you, it's the Halloween season. That's when they're starting to put stuff out because they know people are going and they want to buy stuff.
Yeah. We controlled ourselves this time, though. There's only 4 Vinegar Syndrome titles on this
only
list.
The ones that I'm interested in.
I know. Yeah. We're cutting it back.
I mean, Mark was like, I'm surprised you're not getting this insert name here because I don't want to insult the company that I didn't pick up the release of. And I went, look, I looked online.
Yeah.
No one likes this movie, and I have enough in this style that I have not watched yet that I do not need this release.
I'm sure people can maybe figure, long-time listeners can figure out what we're talking about.
Well, there's
about,
multiple
probably.
On this list. I mean, I could name like a Vinegar Syndrome one. For example, what is the slasher that came out, the Canadian one, the Giallo-ish?
Oh, Evil Judgment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I saw all my pals were like, yeah, it's not very good.
Yeah.
And I was like, I already have some of those that I need to watch.
Hey,
so.
Even for me, like this month's Factory 25.
Mm. What was it?
It was a music doc.
Mm. Oh, you
didn't I just never saw
Factory 25.
Really,
so
they do music docs sometimes.
Vinegar Syndrome seems to have their like hands in all of these companies.
Yeah.
Because they seem to be doing releases that like, oh, did I not put it on this list that there's the set of the 3 films by the Mexican filmmaker?
Yeah, no, you didn't put it on the list.
That seemed exactly like something Altered Innocence would put out.
It did. But now it was part of VSL, their Vinegar Syndrome lab. Line.
Oh, so that's just like, we have extras.
Well, that's the line they started up to do classic stuff, like when they did The Cat Creeps and Flesh and Fantasy.
Yeah, the idea was like, oh, we're going to do stuff here
that
we can't do anywhere else. And then they're like, I guess we're just going to do whatever.
Well, I thought it was going to be like a classic film line, but apparently not, like a classic Hollywood film line, but
like,
apparently
I
not.
I have said I will buy all the Vinegar Syndrome archives until one hits that I'm like, I don't really want that one.
Yeah.
And then... That'll break.
Then it's going to break that. Then what are you going to do? What are you
going to
do with the collection?
Anymore. No, it doesn't matter. Like, I'm doing my Vestron video line, which I have all of them. It's broken now.
It's broken.
Because Blue Steel's coming out. I already have Blue Steel.
Yep.
So I don't need 2 copies of that.
Well, you can just take the Blue Steel out of your
and
imprint
put the
set and
MVD
sell that
there.
Off or something and then get, you know, I don't know what I'm
so
talking
we
about.
Have here Eternal Combat, which is the new Vinegar Syndrome archive of this week.
Yep.
Here's the thing about these. They've been doing a lot of Hong Kong movies lately. Not good ones.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know if they made a deal with, like a publishing arm or something like that.
Okay.
Because, like, Eternal Combat is no one's favorite Hong Kong movie. There's combat in the title. There are, like, 3 fight scenes in this film. It stars, you know, people that are recognizable. Joey Wong from A Chinese Ghost Story. It has Lam Ching Ying, the one-eyed priest from the Mr. Vampire films. It has the villain from The Killer. It has the nerd from all the Stephen Chow films. But, like, I've actually been noticing, like, looking up some of the new recent releases, and people have been saying, like, man, Vinegar Syndrome's a lot of misses lately.
Okay.
Which I don't think I've been seeing that much. Because there was another one, Ghost Nursing, that
yes.
came out. It's not good.
Yeah, you didn't pick that one.
No,
I thought you
not,
might.
I
thought you might
it.
Pick
it's
that up.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay. Sure. So it's such a weird kind of like.
Are people getting burnt out?
I mean, we've been saying this for 2 years.
We say this every single month, like clockwork. Are people getting burnt out?
Well, like, what does it take for someone to go like, I don't need this anymore?
I will admit this. When I looked over the list this month, even for me, I was like, there's not a lot here on like that.
I mean, there is a release of the year on this list,
and there's, you know, the Canadian International one, which is pretty big. But apart from
is what
that,
I wish they just like scaled back a little bit more. Maybe did titles they felt more passionate about.
That's the thing. I'm prepping them all yesterday, and there's like all these 20 titles, and everyone I'm like, this looks kind of whatever.
Yeah.
This looks kind of whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe it was just a lower quality month or something.
But, I guess.
Although that's not to say, I mean, I haven't seen a lot of the movies, yes. So they could be great.
But it's just
I
too
don't
many.
Know.
They can't all be.
Many.
That,
I can't.
That's the logic
yeah.
or the,
I don't know.
The, not the paradox, but the issue with doing this many releases.
Yeah.
They can't all be great.
They can't.
Which it feels like Vinegar Syndrome, you know, I always talk about this, but like a lot of their films are not that good, but they yeah. have other values in them that
exactly.
would make them interesting.
And that's fine. Like yeah. we always say, we don't need it to be like a masterpiece film we're
no.
talking about. I just want to see context. I want to see.
Like,
great, like
Eternal Combat
put together.
Is like this is it's nothing. It's
yeah.
like that. That's what like watching it. I bought this and I watched
it
again.
You did buy it,
and I was like, huh, yeah, this is not. It's just not good. Like
okay.
I wouldn't recommend it to anyone. There's a
right.
million other things I would recommend before. It was kind of like that Category 3 set they put out, which was like
right.
Just a random like bunch of movies.
Okay,
like no one's favorites. Now is it because there's nothing left? I don't know if that's true. Maybe just rights are an issue.
Yep.
And they have access to rights like this, so they can put out, like, I don't know. It's just...
So did you buy this simply because it's a VSA?
Yes. And I thought, I didn't remember it well enough to be like, oh,
right.
I can dismiss it out of hand.
Okay.
Like that other one, Ghost Nursing, I
yeah.
was like, I already have another, like, evil pregnancy movie on the Category 3 set, I believe.
Right, yeah.
I don't need another one, too, so...
Right.
Yeah, Vinegar Syndrome Archive. Like, if they double up on something that's already that'll
that's
kill
gonna kill it for you. But
yeah.
right now, you're batting 100 on these.
Yeah, I
guess.
Well, no, I don't.
You missed
have,
one, right?
I missed two. I don't have Evil Town, and I
right.
don't have the Vice Academy set.
Right. Okay.
I just don't like Rick Sloan very
yeah,
much,
I mean,
and Evil
whatever.
Town is not good.
Not great. Yeah.
And you know, the argument would be that's why. They started Archive. It was like
yeah.
just the crap that they could put out
yeah.
just randomly.
Well, back in the day when it first started, they were like hot items. Like they would do a really limited run, like way more limited than they do now. And we would sell out of them so quickly.
Well, it was one of their first kind of like really gimmicks,
yeah.
right? Following
and that was one of the
cover.
First things we could get from them.
Mm-hmm.
We, for a while, could only get their VSAs and then everything else we had to source elsewhere.
But so moving on to Canadian National Pictures, we have The Hard Part Begins. Now, this is a movie I saw in theaters because I played twice. In Toronto. Played once at the Lightbox.
Yep.
And then it played at the Paradise
well,
Review?
Played last week.
Yeah.
At the Review during TIFF with Paul Lynch in attendance.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he was at the Lightbox.
I think he lives in
not.
Toronto. He
okay.
was at the Lightbox.
Yeah,
one.
I would
yeah.
assume. And yeah.
It's
so...
his first film, Paul Lynch, Prom Night.
Yeah.
Humongous. He has some like humongous.
No contest. And no contest, too.
That's right. Wait, isn't that the one I told you about?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I mean, maybe.
I assume
mean,
you know that.
I've been,
Shannon
yeah.
Tweed,
yeah,
Roddy
yeah,
Piper,
yeah, no, those
Andrew
were
Dice
cable favorites back in my childhood.
And this is his first film, and it's about a down-on-his-out country singer.
Yep.
Past his prime. Won't let go, though.
Yeah.
Just wants to keep
I'd
touring.
I've never seen this before, but checked it out because the CIP guys actually came by the store
Whoa!
During TIFF. Super nice guys. And dropped off a signed copy of this from Paul Lynch himself. So got a...
With the damn Paul Lynch in tone. They're
yeah.
like, Paul Lynch would like
Paul's
to give
here,
you
know?
Yeah.
yeah, we got Paul. Paul, come in here. No, he wasn't here. But yeah, check this out. Looked great. Very much in the tradition of like a Going Down the Road. And hey, the two guys from Going Down the Road are
yeah,
in it.
It's a Hoser core movie.
It's a Hoser.
About a loser.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Really good stuff, though. And the lead guy, Donnelly Rhodes.
Yeah.
Is excellent in this, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, if you like kind of loser, you know,
yeah.
pictures of artists and stuff like that, you should watch The Hard
it's,
Part
It's
Begins.
Like, you know, the Jeff Bridges movie Crazy Heart as like a loser 70s
Canadian
movie.
And they shot it,
which
I think
good.
They shot around Toronto because it looks very...
Well, I was looking it up. They shot it in Ayr, Ontario.
Okay.
A-Y-R, which is just outside of Kitchener, I believe. So very Ontario-like. So,
stacked edition, like two commentary tracks.
Oh, yeah.
They've been working on this for a while.
They have.
Now
yeah.
bring Blood and Guts. The,
yeah.
The one he made after this,
yeah.
which is about wrestling. I really love that one.
Hey, I mean, I'd love to see them dig into some more Paul Lynch in general. Give me a no contest one and two set.
Oh, well, that sounds like a bigger
syndrome
archive.
That sounds like
archive.
A VSA
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But even like Humongous has been out of print forever.
Code Red had it, right?
Yeah, or Scorpion or something.
Code
they
Red.
Put a DVD
yeah, yeah.
out at one point, mm-hmm. long out of print. But you're right. That would probably be just a regular
Wait, isn't
syndrome.
Humongous? Is it just a guy in a diaper, right?
I think so, yeah. Yes. It's been ages since I've
and
seen
it. And it's the guy that's in Siege and also Meatballs.
Right. Yeah, 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 of
that's
course.
The diaper man running around.
Yeah. Paul Lynch, varied career. I was looking him up again.
He did some erotic thriller.
He did?
Is
yep.
it Bedroom Eyes? Am
yes,
I thinking
I
of?
Think,
or
I haven't
something
seen
like that.
It. Yeah, yeah, I looked that up. A lot of TV. But
or
even
Crossroads,
recently
in the
he
title?
Had done...
Is he still working on stuff?
I don't know. It's been a few years. He's still... He's still
no, yes,
working.
He's still alive.
No, I know he's still because he signed
yeah.
this cover. And I was like, is he still working? I think he had a credit within the last couple of years, though.
Wow.
So
he was
mostly TV, though.
He was yeah. a Sidney J. Fury acolyte.
Was he?
Yeah,
okay.
They were pals.
Very cool.
I believe Paul Lynch is originally from Britain.
Yes,
and then
he
came down to direct
stuff.
Yeah,
born in the UK. Which I feel like a lot of our like Canadian directors were actually born in the UK.
Not Sidney J. Fury.
Not Sidney J. Fury.
He did go
he
to,
went
the UK.
To the UK.
Yeah,
though,
after he couldn't get
trajectory.
Any of his other films started.
But
that
great,
was an easy buy, the Harp Harp Again.
Yeah, no, this was awesome. And honestly, out of all the Vinegar Syndrome releases this month, this is the one I ordered the most copies of because our customer base here goes wild for this stuff.
Now, I think this was a big deal as well because they did not partner with another group to do this release, which I wonder if Paul Lynch owns the rights. They probably just went through the National Archive of Canada because they'll do a 4K scan for you if you prove you have the rights.
Yeah,
and that's probably what they did for this.
Yeah,
looking good. Which is good because at the beginning I was like, oh no, they're just gonna be an NFB only company. But then they started doing elephant releases.
Totally branched out from that, which is nice, and seem to be doing pretty well. Like I told the two guys who run it when they came in here, I was like, your line does the best out of any of the Vinegar Syndrome partner label, just because we're in Canada and it's all like Canadian classics.
So you sell like 50 copies?
We sell four.
Like,
I ordered 15 of these bad
15?
Boys.
15?
Hell yeah.
Wow.
Because these are the kind of things like we would get asked for, like for rental or whatever by customers throughout the years. And it would be that situation where it's like, old Canadian film, you know, seems like it's been lost to time. A lot of these
things.
Yeah,
there's a VHS or a TV version.
Yeah, right. But we wouldn't have like rental copies or anything. Mm-hmm. And now, thanks to Canadian International Pictures, they're unearthing and putting them out in like really nice transfers.
Which
so,
would you say?
Awesome.
Next up, we have a Vinegar Syndrome normal release. So it's part of their normal line.
Yeah, they should call it VSN, Vinegar Syndrome Normal.
Curse of the Screaming Dead. Wait, so...
Yeah, and you're really excited about this. And
oh,
I
love
like,
Curse of the Screaming Dead.
And I was like, I don't know, this just looks like anything else, but, you know.
Mm-hmm. So, I do want to say, it's really funny that they have, like, Vinegar Syndrome Ultra and Vinegar Syndrome... what's the labs?
VSL, yeah.
But those
Vinegar Syndrome
are
labs,
still part
VSA.
Of Vinegar Syndrome, are not partner labels.
Yeah, exactly.
Curse of the Screaming Dead... is one that I learned about thanks to Stephen Thrower's Nightmare USA. He has a whole chapter about the director of this. And also, big favorite of the Shock Marathon guys, Charlie Roxburgh, Tom Scalzo, and Matt Farley. So I remember, maybe I watched it before I talked to them about it. So what's really interesting about Curse of Screaming Dead is there's another film that was made the year before that's basically the same film called Night of Terror.
Okay.
Same director. Some of the same cast.
A title I've heard 1,000 times before.
Nothing happens in the movie. Like, nothing happens.
It's not a night of terror? It sounds like a night of boredom.
There's Confederate soldiers, and the actors are just shot in, like real night. So you can just see them and nothing else. It's just, like, in a black void. And they finish the film. The director of this was a protege, or he worked with Don Doler.
Okay.
And, like, George Romero actually, like, they had a conversation with George Romero. He was like, just go make movies. He went out. And he shot this film, Night of Terror. I think that's what it's called. It's on this Blu-ray as well. Yep, 1981. He showed it to the distributor, and the distributor went, we can't put this out. There's no, nothing happens in this movie. But if you shoot some more violence, we could release it. Here's $12,000. Go shoot some more gore scenes.
Great.
The director went, this first one cost $4,000. With $12,000, why not just remake it all? So they remade the whole movie.
That's great.
As Curse of the Screaming Dead, added more zombies that are like ripping people apart. There's guts. Very things like line delivery. Like the characters are always like, what are you talking about? Ah, what's going on?
That's
that
great.
Cross didn't move. Again, shot in front of like inky black nothing darkness. Super fun. I told Mark, watch it, Mark, but
I
didn't have time.
Well, you wanted to record today. Given me another day, maybe I would have had... No, I wouldn't have had time.
Yeah, you wouldn't have had time.
I would try. This sounds interesting, though. You sold me on it.
This release is made by people who love this movie because it has both films, new scans. It has two making ofs. One for Curse of Screaming Dead, 50 minutes. One for Night of Terror, which is 48 minutes. It has a Stephen Thrower interview. We just talked about the movie. It has an interview with the composer, with two of the actors. Commentaries with the director. And the director is so funny. He knows what movie he made.
Yeah, okay.
He's like, yeah, it's bad. There's a shot where I'm in the scene and I'm talking. And it's on my back for like 5 minutes because I'm reading the lines in front of me. And the camera starts to tilt because we put it on the tripod and it was loose. And then the tripod started to fall over in the middle of the shot. And yeah, I just had a blast, and I can't believe there is a Blu-ray like this. I checked
stacked
on Letterboxd. People do not like this movie. No. So I wonder if it's like if they had gone through Saturn's core, it would have had more fans, or because maybe it was too stacked.
Okay.
It's a shot on film.
But
though.
A shot on film.
Yeah, so
right?
It wouldn't have been a Saturn's core once. So
I mean, you sold me on it. This sounds great to me. So.
Oh yeah, like this is like a regional horror classic, and both of them together. I never thought I'd see the day, but here that's they are. Great. Release of the year.
And this is what we're talking about, you know? The movie doesn't have to be great, but put a package together like this? Oh, chef's kiss.
And is it
kiss.
Just because, you
chef's
know,
kiss.
Justin, we need to do Eternal Combat to be able to pay for Curse of the Screaming Dead.
Yeah, then in that case, great. Do it.
Mm-hmm. But there's just too many.
Yeah.
And I think Curse of the Screaming Deads get lost in the shuffle when that happens.
They do, yeah. And yeah, it seems like, and we don't sell a ton. It's interesting. We actually don't sell a ton of the main Vinegar Syndrome stuff anymore because a lot of it is stuff like this.
And people are just people like they've been burned too many times.
Yeah,
just don't want
right?
it anymore. Yeah.
Exactly. So yeah, it's a shame because these are the kind of things that are ripe for rediscovery, especially around spooky season.
I mean, maybe. This has a cover too that looks like 100 releases Vinegar Syndrome.
Yeah, well, at first I thought it was related to that Curse of the Blue Lights or something.
Or Curse
had
of the Blind
similar,
Dead. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It just had a similar look to that. Or like The Fear or something.
This
oh,
is Trauma,
Wooden Man.
And the original title is Curse, or they released it as Curse of the Cannibal Confederates.
Nah.
Don't know why they changed the title. Curse of the Cannibal sounds good.
Yeah.
And it has like a crazy painted poster, which is the flip side on the disc. So
cool.
You can change it to that. Oh, our good friends at AGFA also have a new release. They're putting out A Smell of Honey, A Swallow of Brine, and The Defilers. Are they both David F. Friedman? Well, one of them is. Yes, they are. The Defilers is a big famous one because he directed it. And I believe A Smell of Honey, Swallow of Brine is from She-Freak director.
Right.
Someone described it as Basic Instinct if, you know, it was made for no money in 1966.
Sounds awesome.
Not Basic Instinct. Wild Things. Even more
of
your
even
alley.
Better.
I like that they're putting this out, and these are releases they had done before, so you get like archival audio commentaries and
these
probably
were,
new skins.
These were something weird DVD classics back
oh, yeah.
in the day. Yeah.
Yeah.
We sold a ton of these on DVD.
Does it have the classic burnt in something weird thing
yeah.
on these Blu-rays?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, I know. They should put that on.
You can turn it on and off. On and off.
No, leave it on.
How do these ones sell though?
The AGFA stuff, it's tough because they're either re-releasing stuff they already had out.
Or there's something weird catalog
titles. When MBD,
titles.
You know, like Zodiac
yeah.
or the Wakali Wood set, stuff mm-hmm. like that. Or it's stuff that they're upgrading from the Something Weird DVDs. And I don't know, maybe people aren't as
unless
interested.
It's Bad Pussy and then they're like, we want it!
Yeah, Bad Pussy did well. That always did well.
It's so weird.
But even like, you know, we did Video Diary of a Lost Girl. That
yeah,
didn't
do very well.
That well. I don't know. The AGFA stuff's starting to kind of go down, which is a shame because I really love the stuff they put out.
Next up, we have Criterion, and they're putting out Orson Welles' The Trial.
Long time coming for this one.
In the most, like, low-effort release possible.
Is there not much on this?
There's almost nothing on this. There's a new commentary with Joseph McBride. There's the Filming the Trial documentary, and then there's archival interviews. But, like, there were tons of special features that were produced for the Studio Canal release.
Right.
And they're not on here.
They're not.
Probably because, you know.
Rights issues. Yeah. Yeah, Criterion's been taking some flack lately from people I've seen that have been comparing their extras to extras on European releases, and not as good.
No.
But
very
I think,
low
yeah.
effort. There's probably, like, four people working there now.
Yeah, right. But the,
what
I guess.
What if Criterion turned around and they're like, well, we're shutting down our Blu-ray and DVD division.
I don't think they do.
We're going to do only streaming from
now on. I think they
on.
Have too much of a physical fan base
oh, okay.
still. But yeah, I mean, I think the big get on this is it's just available in like a legal, good looking version.
Hey,
for years,
the other ones were legal. That Studio Canal release
that's
was legal.
No, I mean, in North America is illegal. Like
yeah.
all the DVDs
they were
in North
public
America.
Domain.
No,
all
I know.
Legal.
It's all legal. But I think there was like one Image DVD way back in the day, and then that went out of print. It's just been like bootlegs since then.
Yeah.
Looks beautiful, though. I threw this on and like, damn, cinematography, the production design is just incredible.
Big fan of The Trial.
Incredible.
So we also have from Kino.
No, this is not from Kino.
This is not from
this
Kino.
This is from Icarus.
What the heck is Icarus?
Oh, we've talked about Icarus before. They usually do new foreign films, but every once in a while they put out an intriguing set like this, which I just wanted to highlight. It is early short films of the French New Wave.
Yep. So you got Alain René, Jacques Rivette. Boy, the font on this is very hard to read.
Well, there's a
read.
Bunch of names on the front, too.
Agnès Varda.
You got Godard, Truffaut. You got
Maurice Pilat. Jean Roche, all your favorites.
You know who else? Melvin Van Peebles.
Wow, that's
yeah.
right, because he was in France
he was
and he was
France.
Doing stuff down there.
Now, the quality of these films, I'm not sure, because I haven't checked this out. I don't actually know which films
Well, they did
these
it with
are.
The French company, Les Films de Jeudi and CNC.
I'm just not exactly sure what films these are and if they are considered like important ones in these directors' careers or not.
Probably not, if they're like
yeah,
early films.
It seems like a bit of a grab bag of stuff
yeah.
put together, but interesting that they're putting this set together. I thought it was a cool ad. That's all I've got to say.
That's all I've got.
That's all I've got to say. Kind of expensive, but I don't know. You get 358 minutes worth of content. That's not bad.
So from Fun City Editions, wow, I thought we were out of the Vinegar Syndrome. Wait,
no,
they separate now.
They separate. Fun Whoa. City is no longer a part of the OCN wheelhouse.
Cool. This is something I think I would pick up.
Yeah, this Fatal looks cool. Fam. I wanted to try and check these out, and I just never had time, but I was, because Fun City was touring these theatrically around like New York and LA, and I was kind of hearing about them at that point. It's two 80s French films.
Directed by women.
Directed by women. One of which is Neige, starring and directed by Juliette Berthaud. Juliette Berthaud?
Nope.
She was
a big
French New Wave actress. She's in a bunch of Godard films, like Les Chinois, two or three things I know about her. Mm. And she was Jacques Rivette's muse.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So wait, a lot of stuff was she Rivette. The subject of, what was it, La Belle Noisseuse?
No.
No.
Maybe. I don't
know.
The
one where, actually, like, the old man is tanning something.
Yeah, yeah, that's La Belle Noisseuse. Yeah. But I didn't know much about her directorial career. And yeah, she directed, I think, a few films, but this one looks really cool. And then there's another film with Isabelle Huppert called The Bitch, which I also don't know much about.
Oh,
directed
boy.
By
the,
Christine Pascal.
Synopsis of that is like, yikes.
Yeah?
Yeah. Is it? A policeman rapes a woman, then gets out maybe gets 6 years of jail. And,
well, female directed.
Yeah, that's the only reason I would... kind of approach and be like, what is the approach on this?
But it's an interesting set for Fun City because obviously, you know, as per their name, they've mostly focused on New York set films. And this is them kind
of
going...
every label that pick a name that they're this
but
is
they were really
limited.
They
us.
Were really devoted to that for a while, right? And now it's like they're kind of expanding into some European cinema. So really cool set. I like this.
Yeah. Well, lots of stuff to explore. I don't know how these Blu-rays are because they're fancy and there's no information on
that. That's the thing.
Them.
Yeah, they do. Well, they still do the Vinegar Syndrome style slipcovers where you basically
we're in contact with
you
the suppliers.
You don't get the cut. You don't get any info on the back. But cool stuff.
Yep.
I'm digging Fun City Editions.
They're bringing stuff. You know, to the interest of people that otherwise they would have probably never heard about.
Exactly. But yeah, I guess you're right. They've moved away from New York before because Breathless was all like L.A., right?
Yeah.
And like Morvern Caller
is not
New York at all. So scratch what I said there.
I wonder if they were like, but that was their original idea.
That was their original idea.
Like,
I know the first few releases.
How many movies do you think they thought they were going to do and they decided, let's expand.
I mean, their first release, I think, was Alphabet City, was it not? Yeah.
Wait, so I'm looking at this release of the Michael Caine film directed by Andre Dutasse, Play Dirty, which is a really fun, kind of like Dirty Dozen take, but like much grimmer and more cynical.
Okay.
This is like a bootleg.
Yeah,
what is going on with this disc?
So I don't know who controls like the MGM catalog.
A lot of companies.
So obviously MGM stuff has been split up between Vinegar Syndrome, Kino, a lot of people are putting them out. But there's been a new line of just MGM MOD Blu-rays where they've been dumping a bunch of their titles, which for the most part have never been on Blu-ray before.
Did Play Dirty ever get like an imprint release or an indicator? It feels like that's where it would go.
Nope. Not that we could ever get in. So this is the first time we've ever seen it here on Blu-ray. So
wow, I like Play Dirty, but I was just curious to know.
Yeah, but
like,
there's nothing on this.
No.
This is strictly an MOD Blu-ray.
But let's move on to not MOD.
Yeah,
this is a film. All right,
fine.
Quality.
Well, we won't even talk about that then.
Double Trouble, which is a classic by the Barbarian Brothers,
and it's this week's Blind Buy. So I gotta confess, I don't really know the Barbarian Brothers. This is my first.
I am shocked.
This is
that
my
you don't
first,
know the Barbarian
like,
Brothers.
Like I'm aware of them.
Yes.
I knew about the Barbarians.
But I feel like that was something you would race to watch.
Yeah, I don't know why I just kind of missed this. I never knew about them until maybe a few years back.
The Barbarians, or Ruggiero
Deodato
movie.
Yeah, I know
movie.
That film, but I haven't even seen that movie. So this was my first exposure to them, and yeah, they're kind of fun.
Yeah,
I guess.
They're very goofy guys.
They're goofy guys.
Not good actors.
What's their deal though? Like, what
just
were they
bodybuilders? Yeah, I think someone just hired them. And was like, hey, you guys look alike, and you're bodybuilders. Here you go.
Well, yeah, there's that bodybuilding scene in this where he's just like.
Oh yeah, he's lifting a woman with
his
hands.
Like neighbor or whatever.
I guess like people were into muscle guys in the early 90s. They needed DTV.
Well, I mean,
fodder.
You know, it was the Schwarzenegger Stallone sort of fall.
Directed by John Paragon, this movie, who was on Pee-wee's
Playhouse. I said. Right.
Now,
but
I will
who also
say,
had a small directorial
people have
career.
Said The Double Trouble is the lesser Barbarian Brothers films. They recommend Twin Sitters.
Yeah, see, I saw they did a few films.
Yeah. More than you would think.
More than you would think. Twin Sitters, I did look that up. Looks fun.
Yeah.
This one was okay. I didn't really think either way about it.
Well,
it was fine.
I thought it was exactly what it promised.
Yeah.
Two dumb brothers.
Yeah.
Lots of twin jokes.
Lots of twin jokes.
Did I go through there?
Hey, you guys look a lot alike.
Lifting things and throwing them on other things.
Yep. There was the scene because
Roddy McDowell.
Well, one of them's a cop and one of them's a criminal.
Yes.
And when the cop one throws the criminal one into jail early on, he's like, I know all these other guys because I threw him in here. So, hey, everybody, there's my brother here.
They kind of look like Corey Feldman.
Yeah, they do a little bit. Like jacked up Corey Feldman's. Yeah.
He's all roided up.
They got that hair going and everything.
You feel
Corey
like they're
Feldman
probably
had.
Not that strong.
No, I don't think so.
No.
I feel like it's all a show with them.
But in the movie, well, what is the plot of this? Yeah, one of them is a capper.
One of them's a capper.
One of them's a cop.
Yeah, and Roddy McDowell is some evil billionaire dude.
You didn't laugh
or whatever
when they suddenly get in a random fight that spills into the street?
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
I didn't dislike it. It just, you know, I don't know if it rose above the level of these kind of movies to be one that's going to stay in my mind.
But it doesn't need to
anything.
Rise above. It just needs to deliver what it promises.
It's just one of the, I don't think I'm ever going to think about this movie again.
Oh, you'll think about it.
You'll think
see
I will,
two
eh?
Twins, and they'll be muscly, and you'll be like, ah,
yes. Hey, it's like those double
trouble
guys.
So this get. Am I sad that I, oh man. We have so many like details now. It's like it's a blind buy, but we didn't really blind buy it. This was
Justin's blind buy.
Yeah, it's on
choice.
Tubi.
It's on Tubi.
Yeah, so
easy choice. But Kino Lorber has put it out
for $20. You get the theatrical trailer.
Is that it?
There's
nothing else on it. There's no Barbarian Bros.
No
commentary.
I think maybe one of them has passed away.
Oh really?
I may be mistaken.
R.I.P. Yeah. I was just gonna ask, where are the Barbarian Brothers these days?
Do you know they had a deleted scene in Natural Born Killers?
I saw that on their IMDb credits, and I was like, oh, wow, they're on National. I didn't even remember that.
Yeah, they're not in the movie. They're in a deleted
they're
scene
a deleted
of that
scene,
movie.
But they're credited still, yep. I guess. But
I mean, they got like 4 or 5 movies, which is wild.
That's wild, yeah.
Yeah.
I was totally unaware of these guys until maybe like, yeah,
well,
5 years ago.
I look forward to
so.
Your Barbarian Brothers article where you watch
well,
all the movies.
Yeah, I know. I'm definitely more interested in The Barbarians because it's Ruggero Deodato.
Yeah,
that
yeah, yeah.
That,
and
right?
It's a
that's,
fantasy
that's
film.
That's a little more intriguing to
but
me.
But they
it's
act
a fantasy
exactly
film.
Like they
that.
Do in this.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, it gives me a little A-Tor vibes, I guess.
But it's definitely
is
A-Tor-ish.
Like that?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. This was okay, though. Are you happy with your blind buy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I bought it expecting that, I would not expect something, you know, the way that Roger Ebert would say,
yeah,
I'm rating this movie based on what it's selling to me.
Oh, yeah.
And if I mistake, like, no, if I watch this and I was like, this is a masterpiece. How have I never heard about this before? That would be very surprising.
No, I fully agree. This definitely gives you what you would want from this movie.
Yeah.
If you go into a Barbarian
like
Brothers
like, oh,
movie like
dumb,
this.
You're like, yeah.
Yeah.
Look what you're watching,
exactly.
Man.
So, I mean, am I glad it was on Tubi so I could just watch
yes.
it for free? Hell yeah. But yeah, they're really pushing the, like, twins connection with this, like the most mismatched pair of identical twins since Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger. It's like, but they're actually identical.
They're identical twins.
That's not at all like,
they're not even mismatched.
It's
they
not,
act exactly the same.
I saw somewhere else reference twins. I'm like, but it's not like twins at all.
No,
because in twins the joke is that they look nothing
when
alike.
When did twins come out?
88, so before this.
Oh, okay. So people had twins fever. You know what?
People
that's
had twins fever, yeah.
The Barbarian Brothers to get movies.
Yep.
Twins fever.
Twins fever.
But the thing about
but
twins
the
is one
whole
of them is muscular and the other one is small.
The whole joke is they look nothing alike.
That movie stinks.
That movie's terrible.
Oh,
yeah.
So bad.
The whole Ivan Reitman, Schwarzenegger thing. I love Kindergarten Cop. I do.
Okay, how dare you? Kindergarten
but
Cop. But Junior,
twins
bad.
And Junior, bad.
Bad, bad.
And
twins
even
was such a huge hit.
I know.
It was a massive.
Yeah, well, that was
hit.
The first one, right? Yeah. And then
I've shown Kindergarten Cop in theaters for our kids.
I remember.
Because, you know what? I like
that
movie.
That one's the best. Mm-hmm. Junior's so disappointing, though, because it's like, oh my God, Arnold's pregnant. That's perfect. And then you watch it.
It's like, not
wow,
that funny.
Wow, this is not funny at
no.
all.
No. So, moving on. All right, let's get classy. Cage Cinema ahead.
Hell yeah.
It's The Lost City of Zed.
We talk about James Gray a lot, I feel like, on this podcast.
This is James Gray, the movie, his big epic. Everyone gets
his
one.
His big epic.
Soderbergh does Che.
Well, James Gray did Ad Astra, too. That was kind of epic.
He
right?
did. He said that when he was making Lost City of Zed, though, he was on, like, whatever forest they were shooting in, being eaten by bugs.
Yeah,
like
real
is,
Herzog filmmaking,
he's like, this is
eh?
Not worth it. What am I doing?
Yeah.
Like,
I really like this movie, though.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I liked it at the time. And this is actually this 4K Blu-ray combo from Shout Factory. It's the only way you can get it now.
We also have Charlie Hunnam fever, right?
Yeah,
we love Charlie Hunnam.
I feel nothing for
was
Charlie Hunnam.
Was he in Pacific
Hunnam.
Rim? Yes.
I never saw Pacific Rim.
I believe he was.
Okay.
And
I remember him from
in...
Undeclared back in the day.
Oh, yeah. He was the funny Australian guy. Yep, he was funny
was
in that show.
That was the first time I ever saw him.
Now, if this had been Jay Baruchel and Robert Pattinson.
Oh.
Oh.
Great.
I mean, that would be
I mean, he's good in this.
He's fine.
Yeah, I like this movie. Beautiful. I like James Gray. I got a soft spot for James Gray.
Bummer of a movie.
Bummer of a movie. It
does he find the lost city of gold? Spoiler alert. He does not.
He does not. Yeah. Does it end bleakly? It does.
I want to see this movie, Mark, and this is the only way I can see it. It's at a reasonable price, of course.
Of $59.95.
$59.95. And what do you get? You get a commentary with James Gray. Oh, wait. You get From
That's
Novel
it?
To Screen. It also says new restoration from a 2K digital intermediate. That means they didn't do a new scan for this, but they had a 2K intermediate, and they probably just used that.
Well, it's weird. I mean, this obviously came out on DVD and Blu-ray at the time.
Wait,
out of print now.
This is a 4K, too.
Yeah.
So they up-resed it
yep.
from a 2K. This is not a 4K restoration.
Nope.
That's wild.
Well, it's just out of print. Shout fact, and unfortunately, this is an import shout, so there must be some Canadian rights issue or something. But it's out of
people
print.
People are all like...
You can't even get like a $5 DVD of this anymore.
People are pounding on the doors. We want The Lost City of Zed. We want Zed.
I mean, it's a beautiful...
Whatever.
It's a beautiful looking film.
Yeah, which is the Canadian saying? Is it Zed? Or Z?
Z?
Is it Z? I don't know.
I've always said... I don't know. I go back and forth.
Okay.
I think whenever I say this title, I say Z. But then
French.
A lot of the time I say Z.
Q R S T W X Y Z. Yeah, Z is French.
Well, let's put it to our listeners. Is it Z or Z?
No, we don't care. Don't write in the comments. People are arguing.
I want to know. Is it Lost City of Z or Z? I think I've always said Z.
We could just look it up. But do you think James Gray? James Gray is a
but
very
that takes
thick
the fun out of it
accent,
if you just look
though.
It up. Yeah.
Have you ever heard James Gray talk?
I have. I saw him. In conversation at TIFF once upon a time.
Oh.
He did a 2-hour in conversation thing.
I'm sure it was very interesting.
It was good. Yeah, it was actually,
good.
It was really good.
Oh man, you're going to take it away on the next one too.
From Lost City of Z to Lost Souls.
What is Mike Wood here or something?
He is. He's just out in the store.
Things that sound like other things.
So this is another Shout Factory release.
Oh, this is the Janusz Kaminski movie.
Yeah,
P-U.
This is... famed cinematographer Janusz Kaminski's directorial debut.
I hope it has blown out whites in it.
Yeah, so this is... So Shout Factory is really pillaging the Y2K era, like, satanic thrillers. Mm. Where they did Bless the Child recently.
Stigmata?
I think they did. Yeah, okay. They did Stigmata, right?
Oh.
I don't know. I think they did at one point. They did that years ago. This one I definitely saw at the time because, you know, Winona Ryder, love her. Crappy-looking horror movies, love them. And
it's a crappy movie.
I remember it being really bad.
Yeah.
I really wanted to revisit this before watching the podcast or doing the podcast, and I just never had time. But yeah, it's funny. The quote on the back, they do mention it's Steven Spielberg's favorite cinematographer, Janusz Kaminski.
That's really funny. They have to specify.
Yeah,
it.
Bob Thomas from Associated Press made sure to put that in. I'm also looking at the credits. Apparently, this was produced by Meg Ryan. Maybe Meg Ryan was supposed to star in this at one point.
That sounds about right.
Otherwise, I don't have much to say about this, I guess.
No, you don't remember much. Who's Ben Chaplin?
He's a British guy. Okay. Been in a lot of stuff.
I remember almost buying this on DVD when I found Value Village. For like a dollar, and I looked it up online. I was like, no, bad.
It's funny, when we were getting this in, I was looking it up because we have like an old rental of this, and I take a look. The DVD rental of this, the last time it rented was 2010.
How did you guys not get rid of it? What is the cutoff date for rentals?
It stayed in the system for a while.
Wow.
I mean, we don't usually get rid of rentals anymore. We did for a while for like space reasons, but now we just kind of have a not displayed sort of thing.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, with this, it's still hanging around. But
so if you
want to
rent it, make your video, it's still available.
This is one of the... Show Factory just like... when they get a movie like this, is anybody at Show Factory like, oh, great,
oh,
I'm
man,
so psyched to
Lost
put out
Souls.
Lost Souls.
No, absolutely not.
This is just a contractual thing, right?
Yeah, well, it's a job, right? You can't be excited about... You know,
do
everything
they honestly
you do
think,
on a job.
How many copies of this are they going to sell, though? You know?
I wonder.
I don't think we've sold a single one so far.
And you're going to return these bad
boys,
too.
Yeah. We sold, like, two, I think, of Bless the Child. But Bless the Child held up better than I thought.
You know what? It just hangs out on Amazon or their official website.
Yeah.
Do you think Shout will ever just move to an only through their website?
The Shout exclusive thing? Yeah. Well, if they do, they better ship to Canada.
I mean, like, they've done so many Shout exclusives. I know. They're so expensive.
They've been pumping them out. Yeah.
Wait. I wanted to stop the podcast to
stop the podcast.
Announce a winner of our of our thing.
I totally forgot about
it's the
this.
End of the month. It's coming out right at the end. So the winner is Roos Ladahl. So Roos Ladahl, send me an email.
Oh yeah, I recognize that name.
Oh wait, is this fixed? Is that what you're
no,
trying
no,
to
I,
tell
no,
me?
No, I don't know this. I just recognize that handle.
Contact us at goldninjavideo@gmail.com.
Yeah.
And I'll get the email and I will respond. So.
And what's the prize again? I've forgotten.
It is the release of In the Claws of CIA.
Right.
Vinegar Syndrome.
The one you did the video essay on.
I have a video essay on that. So
hell yeah. Congrats.
Contact me at that email address. goldninjavideo@gmail.com. Send me your address as well.
Hell
so
yeah.
And one email so I can just respond.
We will.
It's on your way.
We'll do another one of these soon. Because
every month. Let's just get people to
I'll bring something out this time.
Oh, nice.
Because you did it before. I got some stuff we can probably
them if you want,
raffle.
Like...
Yeah, totally.
Well, why would you want to see?
You can sign your ninja in the claws of the CIA because you actually worked on that one. So
next up we have. All right, Mark. Time for you to talk about your favorite actor.
We're in the problematic corner now with Shia LaBeouf. I really wouldn't talk about him if he wasn't in the
if
new
Shia LaBeouf
Abel
was doing
Ferrara
like DTV
movie,
action.
Oh,
movie,
we would talk. About
you
him
would
all
absolutely.
The time.
You'd be.
Yeah, who am
about.
I kidding? I wouldn't talk. I'd talk about him. Whatever. Well, let's not beat around the bush. Horrible person, Shia LaBeouf.
No.
Not a good person.
Is this the one that Asia Argento was supposed to be on and she quit like day
she's
one?
In it. No,
oh.
She's in it. Yeah,
because
oh,
I heard that she left.
This is the new Abel Ferrara movie. So when Shia LaBeouf was cast out of Hollywood, rightfully so. Well, I mean, he's back in Hollywood now.
Is he back?
Well, he's in the Francis Ford Coppola movie, right? Coppola
yeah,
movie.
That's right.
Abel Ferrara decided to give him a chance and cast him in the lead as Padre Pio.
Yeah. Who's Padre Pio?
A priest?
Is he a famous one?
A famous priest? Yeah. You're talking to somebody who has no religious like background at all.
But
I did watch this movie.
Moved by this movie.
I watched this movie, and you're asking me. I'm like, I don't really know who Padre Pio.
Wait, I remember when this was coming out. People are like, it's good though. It's really good.
Well, I am an Abel Ferrara head.
Yeah.
It was okay. It's fine. It's not bad. It's not one of his best. I think he's done better films recently because I've been into his stuff recently too.
Yeah.
This one,
what is
okay.
Ethan Hawke's non-action movie?
Well,
From Zero to One?
Oh, I love that one.
Yeah.
Do more of that. The problem with this is he's trying to make it really like gritty and authentic, and it takes place in this like small Italian village, but everybody speaks English.
Yeah, during the right as the First World War is ending,
it's one of those movies where it's like a Hollywood movie where everybody in the town just speaks like accented English, Shia LaBeouf just speaks like Shia LaBeouf.
So that was your stumbling block.
A bit, because when he's trying to make this like really authentic kind of, and he's done Italian movies before though. That's the thing. He's done Italian movies in Italian.
Wait,
so...
no. His Pasolini film wasn't in Italian.
That's
was
true.
It?
That wasn't. So it goes back. But something like this, there was this, it seemed like he was trying to go for this.
And that
real,
was a block.
Like,
everything else was gold except for those.
No. Yeah. It was still like kind of just.
How
boring.
Is Shia in this?
He's just like overacting a lot. He's just like going through his like spiritual crisis, right? Mm. But your Asia Argento does show up first scene.
Also someone who had issues.
Yeah.
We don't talk about that anymore.
It's problematic, you know. Problematic film. Problematic people. But I remember reading interviews with Abel Ferrara at the time, and he was asked a lot about like, oh, how, you know, you decided to cast Shia LaBeouf. And his thing was like, oh, Shia is really on a journey of like this. This was part of his journey of like, you know, coming to terms with who he was and like asking for forgiveness. I don't know. He's just kind of a dick.
Because that
though.
Stuff happened after he made the movie.
Yeah.
Discussing his issues and things like that. And then
the thing is, he's always like I feel like we've given him chances over and over and over again. And it's like after what happened with FKA Twigs and all that.
He's self-destructive. Like,
he's just abusive. Though,
yeah,
you
that's
know?
The
it's,
other issue.
It's one thing to be self-destructive or just like
you destroy
harm,
yourself
destroy
as
yourself,
opposed to like,
you know, which was kind of the narrative before, although there was like when he was racist at one point. And, like,
wasn't there like the classic drunken police
well,
stuff?
Yeah. He threw out some racial epithets there, but we all forgave him for that. And then here,
we all
like,
forgave him. We all came together.
We all forgot about it, though, for a while. And then I don't know.
Because he was in American Honey. And then what was the name of the movie that was based on his life?
Honey Boy.
Honey Boy.
Yeah. And then he
Yep, that was it.
Beat up his girlfriend. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It's but if you're an Abel Ferrara head, you're already gonna watch this.
What else is this
movie did get like dumped. Like in North America, it got put out by Gravitas Ventures.
That's the bottom of the barrel.
Like no, but even with Abel Ferrara's name on it, nobody else would touch this. So
that's sad.
It's sad because I know it played. I think it premiered at Venice last year, that and then kind of right. just came to like it came here to like. Streaming.
What else does Abel have in the chamber? Does he have any other ones coming out that look weird?
He's prolific these days. Yeah. I thought he said he was working on something else, but I don't know if there's anything concrete yet that's on IMDb.
Oh, unfortunately there isn't.
Yeah.
Because that's surprising.
I read in interviews around when this was coming out, he did say he was working on other stuff, but it was just
Is Willem Dafoe too busy?
Vague stuff. Yeah, I know. Well, Willem Dafoe is in demand. But Willem and Abel, they're good friends.
Yeah, they're
very, very good friends. So.
Next up, we have something that's sick. John Himes, sick.
Getting a perfunctory DVD-only release.
Now, were you someone that was like, man, it's fine?
I feel like we talked about this around when it was at TIFF.
Yeah.
And I was really excited for this. A, because, yeah, John Himes, great. But B, Kevin Williamson.
And then I said, damper your expectations.
This was one of my most anticipated films.
that's why.
I love Kevin Williamson.
What has Kevin Williamson done recently that you've been very excited about?
Of course. Not recently, but this was billed as like, it's his comeback, right?
All right.
I mean, that's what Peter Kaplowski was saying.
Oh, is that what he told
him?
He's got to sell the movies, though. He's got to sell the movies.
No, but the idea of Kevin Williamson making a slasher again. Interesting.
Yep.
I'm down with that, especially in 2022 or whenever this came out.
Not really a slasher, though. Kind of like a home invasion.
Yeah, it's more of a home invasion.
Yeah.
But similar elements,
yes.
I guess. And I thought it was for...
And then when they said, it's a COVID movie, you're like, uh-oh.
I was intrigued by that, though. Because
I think
like,
they do it fine.
I want to see how people can adapt.
And it is about COVID, too. I'm just remembering about the movie now.
It's actually about COVID. My issue with it, though, was in how it... ultimately dealt with COVID, which unfortunately you can't really talk about without spoiling it.
Yeah,
I thought the twist ending was a little glib.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I see what he's doing with it, but I felt like it kind of put maybe not a great message out there.
What if there was coughing at the end?
Yeah, like I mean, yeah, it's not as bad as dash cam or something.
Yes.
But I felt like it just was a bit glib about the COVID stuff at the end. I thought though, for a good like 45 minutes to an hour, it's pretty solid.
I feel like this movie is missing 20 minutes at the end. It feels like there's a few more beats that are not present.
It just like they hit you with that twist at the end, and it's kind of like
it's very short. It's 83 minutes.
Yeah, and then it just like ends right after that twist. But I feel like in that twist, he digs into some like kind of, you know, touchy subject matter, which I'm cool with. Go for it. But then he doesn't really go for it. He kind of just like there's the twist and it's kind of like a gag and then it's over. You know, that was my problem with it.
Well, I think this movie is good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah,
when it came out.
It was solid. Like, I think I actually reviewed it at the time for my outlet. I think I gave it like a 2.5 out of 4. It was like a solid movie.
It was 2.5 out of 4. That's a solid. Well, that 4 instead of 5 is so confusing
to me. Yeah, that's. I mean, I don't
that's
like
3.
I don't like
5.
Star ratings anyway. But
yeah,
it's like a 3, 3.5.
3.5. Yeah,
yeah. 3.5
is a solid
movie.
In my book.
There was just like a little keeping me back from getting it.
But
higher.
John Himes doesn't deserve this fate. Like
John Himes directs the shit out of this movie, though.
Yeah, he does way more than this film deserves.
And I will say that. I think if it was not as good a director, it might have been even worse.
Yeah.
Because I do think Kevin Williamson's script isn't as good as some of his previous scripts.
Why can't John Himes just, like, get a break? Like, he's directing,
well, you
like...
Well, after Alone, which
Asylum?
Got pretty good reviews.
Yeah, Alone got really good reviews.
What happened after that? Like,
you got this.
Yeah,
but then it was dumped to a streaming service.
Peacock, yeah, for some reason.
They bought it. It was a sales title, and they bought it.
I thought after TIFF it might get bought by, like, Shudder or something.
That would have helped them either.
No, it wouldn't have. But at least they tend to push their horror stuff a bit more. Like, it could be a Skinamarink type thing or whatever, mm-hmm. but, like... It just got picked up by Peacock, which is
the other issue is
kind of a dumping ground.
It's COVID related too, right? So it's like people are like, do I want to watch this?
But I feel like Dashcam found more life afterwards than this did.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't it? I don't know.
Did it?
I think so.
People are really talking about Dashcam.
Dashcam,
I haven't heard anyone talk about
Sick. Well, nobody's talking about Sick either, you know? I have recommended this to certain people.
Yeah,
like,
it's like, do you want, like, you
for
know,
new horror movies?
You know, this like, Halloween season, I would recommend if you just want kind of like a suspenseful in a house horror film. Sick.
Although one person I recommended it to was really put off by the ending. Though.
Really?
So, you know, it's kind of, it definitely, it's a divisive kind of ending, I think.
I think I can guess who that is.
Not as much as
who was put off.
Oh, no. I'm not even talking.
No? Okay. So
I don't think I'm talking about who you're thinking.
Okay.
But yeah. No, I think one of the employees who works here
actually watched it
and was just like kind of put off. Like, enjoyed it, but was kind of put off by the twist. So.
Ah, the protagonists of this are bad people. Kind of, pretty much.
I mean, I like in theory, I just feel like he doesn't go hard enough with it.
Yeah.
It feels a bit like
glib.
He's just out of touch. Yeah. Like Kevin Williams.
Yeah, Kevin Wilson was in his big mansion, and he's like, "Why are people worrying
about
this?"
So it's like my problem with like Knock at the Cabin, right? It's like rich people trying to make statements about COVID. It's like, I get it, but like, I don't even think they're being malicious. It's just like, I don't really care.
You don't have enough of it.
I don't really care. Yeah, you don't have like enough of an experience with this.
The hard scrabbling real people like me and Mark Harf.
Well, it's true though. Like we like, you know, it's different when you can like.
When you have to deal with it every day.
Exactly.
And I'm speaking of
like,
you, not me. So.
We like most people have to go out and work through it the whole pandemic.
Yeah,
Hollywood people sat
didn't
in their mansions, right?
Yeah.
Like and thought about what am I going to say about COVID? You know, what am I going to say about?
I
lockdown?
Can't have my dinner parties
like,
anymore.
I didn't have time to think about like what I was going to say about COVID.
Because I had to go in and do work.
I had to go in and sling Blu-rays and DVDs.
Do you think Sick is going to get a Blu-ray release?
Probably not, right?
Yeah.
Because who would put it out at this point?
Yeah.
If they only did DVD for this.
It's a Miramax film. Wait, did Blumhouse produce it?
Oh, yeah. It's a Bumhouse film.
It's a Bumhouse.
I call it Bumhouse. Miramax is owned by Paramount now. Like, the name Miramax.
Right.
That's why the Scream movies
so
all come out.
So probably Paramount bought it and then just did it
and put it.
Miramax.
And I think Peacock is their streaming service, right?
Who has Peacock?
It's an American thing.
Okay.
I think it's like Paramount
Plus. I think you can get it here.
Can you?
Paramount Plus?
I thought
Plus?
Paramount Plus was like the Canadian.
Oh, okay.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Why is it different?
Who cares?
Tax reasons.
We're a video store. Why are we talking about streaming services
we can only watch
here?
Sick on DVD.
Yeah, like I had to wait to watch this on DVD. No, I didn't.
Anyway, that's it for this week's episode of the Base Street Video Podcast. Until next week, my name is Justin The Clue.
And I'm Mark Hansen.
Keep on buying.
Keep on renting. What you wanna watch.
John Himes movies.
John Himes movies.
These movies and many more are available at your local video store.
What is available?
Okay, well, we've
DVD
got
your Blu-ray.
We've got two Universal Soldiers.
Oh, great movies. But
we've got Alone.
Wait, the Canadian version of Universal Soldiers is uncut, does not have the commentary or the 2-hour documentary that is on the American release of Universal
Soldiers. Which one? Day of Reckoning?
The second one. So Day of Reckoning.
Right, yeah,
Regeneration, that one's fine.
Right.
We also have, you said Alone?
We have
that's
Alone.
On Blu-ray.
Yep, that's on DVD and Blu-ray.
Mm-hmm. You don't have All Square, which is his baseball one.
Nope.
And
he made that documentary early in his career
about
right?
bull riding.
Did he do like a boxing documentary?
Oh, he also did a boxing one. Yeah,
I think we rent that actually.
You do rent that one?
Yeah,
okay.
I can't remember what it's called. What else has he done?
I think that's it.
Is that it?
Yeah. Do you have Black Wednesday? I think it was called, which is a prequel to Z Nation.
No, I don't know if we have that actually.
He did direct, if you have Z Nation on DVD. I don't know if you sell the Asylum zombie show.
Yeah, I don't think we have those.
John Hines, man, he should have done a Maniac Cop.
I know.
He should have done like.
I wish for the best for John
He's
Hines,
very nice.
Yeah.
I've met him
when
a few
I
times.
When I put up my review of Sick back in the day, I don't even follow him or anything. He retweeted it.
Oh, that's nice.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
But like, he
seems
needs
like a man of the people. I don't know.
I mean. He is the son of Peter Himes, a very famous Hollywood
director.
Hey,
I gotta always have a soft spot for Peter Himes.
I mean,
Himes.
I love Peter Himes.
Love Peter Himes, you know?
I mean, rent some Peter Himes films.
Directed some of the best Van Damme movies. Time Cop and Sudden Death.
Yeah, Sudden Death. The best Hollywood Van Damme movie that's not directed by a Hong Kong filmmaker.
Hell yeah. Oh, yeah.
I even like...
Outland.
I like that one.
He did 2010.
Yeah, The Year We Made Contact. Star Chamber. Never seen.
The Musketeer. I've never seen The Star Chamber.
Musketeer.
No.
Shit. That movie stinks. Sound of Thunder. Terrible. So
some of the best green screen I've ever seen.
You know, but Peter Himes did come and he shot his son's film... Universal Soldier, the first one, Regenerate.
He did.
Wait, they both worked together. Speaking of Jean-Claude Van Damme, Enemies Closer.
Enemies Closer, the Mountie one.
Yeah, the one where Jean-Claude Van Damme plays a Quebec terrorist.
Yeah.
Really? I think that's the last Peter Himes directed feature film.
Yeah, I think so.
Very fun.
I remember being excited when that came out.
The guy for American Werewolf in Paris and...
Tom Everett Scott.
Yeah, Tom Everett Scott. And, you know, Mr. Sprite, 7-Up.
Yes.
What's his name? He's in Evolution.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know who we're talking about.
What's his name? Orlando Jones.
Orlando Jones. Yeah. You get too excited about stuff that is only will disappoint you.
I'm sorry. I have a Blu-ray of Enemies Closer.
Me too. I think I picked it up at Giant Tiger.
I think it's out of print now, too. It's like collector's item.